let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you, so let's go kick some art.
Kia ora, and welcome to Kick-Ass, proudly brought to you this July by Shoreside Theatre's production of And Then There Were None by Agatha Christie at the Pump House. Kick-Ass is Aotearoa's comprehensive arts show, brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcasts, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz or find us on Spotify. On the show tonight, we're talking music and more music with Ben Rook, Lost Vessels, Marla, Jenny Smith, and tracks from other artists. So to kick off tonight's show, here is the latest track from a regular past guest. Yes, a bit of an oxymoron. He was a regular in the past. It's Chris Bates with Suitcase.
We got a the dark, and we sat on the swing set and talked about life, about love, about all of our regrets. Oh, I'm not good at talking, I'm a hell of a listener. You told me about your mama and how much you've been missing her, and laughed and said the trees where you're from look prettier. And I know that nothing's forever, seasons change in time. Scared of the danger and opening up with the truth, just to have to call you a stranger. And if I had the courage, well then I'd drive on over and ask you why you're leaving just when I got to know you. And it don't make sense, so can you explain why I'm falling in love when you're flying away? So pack me in your suitcase when you fly home, cause I know I can't hold you if it's just on the phone. When you fly home, cause I know I can't hold you if it's just on the phone. I don't wanna miss you, don't wanna let go. Don't you leave me here on my own. So pack me with your things, don't want this to end. I wanna pet your dog and meet all of your friends. I don't wanna lose this and let you go. So don't you leave me here on my own.
That was Chris Bates. It's lovely to hear his voice again. Well, I'm sitting here surrounded by people, but I'm normally talking to someone like a co-host, but there's no co-host tonight. It's me. We've got lots of co-hosts. We're all in the studio. So, yeah, it's been a busy week for us. Stephen, of course, is away in Tauranga again at his rehearsals. He said that he will be downloading this and listening on his drive home tomorrow. So I hope you're driving well and I hope it's not raining when you're listening in, Stephen. This week, what have I been doing? Well, it's meant to be school holidays. School holidays, well, the plan was to chill out. I've had a few days of chilling out, but I've also had students in singing competitions in Hamilton. I've been to two shows. I went to the opening last night of Auckland Music Theatre's Merrily We Roll Along. And if you are a musical lover, and even more so a Sondheim lover, this is a show not to be missed. It was absolutely fantastic. And we had them on the show a couple of weeks ago. Today, I spent an hour and a half at Playhouse in Glen Eden. I had to think about that for a second, seeing Into the Woods Junior. First time director. And yeah, what a great job. Beautiful set, gorgeous costumes, and the dancing and choreography was phenomenal. So another one that's playing through the school holidays, so get along. Perfect for kids, as it is only a junior production, which of course is just over an hour, and then you've just got a short interval. So get along to the Playhouse for that. But anyway, let's get on with the show. I said we're talking music and I'm talking about theatre. So returning to the studio, and he even brought me sweet treats because he found out he did get told off last time. I should put his microphone up so you can hear him, though. Always helps. Welcome back, Ben.
Hello, thank you. Thank you for having me.
No worries at all. You've brought some friends with you this time.
I have.
Do you want to introduce them?
Yes, of course. So, sitting right across from me is Cam from Lost Vessels, and right next to him is Eileen from Lost Vessels, and I've got my daughter here with me, who turns 14 on the first day back of term 3.
How annoying that it's on the first day of term, though.
I don't go back onto school that day. I get an extra week off.
They get an extra week off.
Oh, that's right, because you're at one of the schools that has 3 weeks holidays. Pretty Do you get 3 weeks at your school?
No, that's okay, though. There's a point at which I want to go back.
Well, I used to always find when I was at a school that had 3 weeks holidays that I used to spend most of that week at school. It was a great time to go in and sort the costume cupboard and get the resources back on the shelf and make the room look nice and tidy and kind of in a working order for the students to come back to.
It's like an adventure.
Yeah.
I realized the other day, this is going to make me sound real geeky, but I'm okay with that. I used to play World of Warcraft, and as I get older, I start to feel like daily life becomes just a whole bunch of quests that you've got to complete to get rewards, and there are heaps of, like, and does that make sense, eh? It's real
but
fun.
That's actually quite a fun way to play life. I noticed it comes up on my face, my TikTok and Instagram quite often, those kind of, for people with ADHD brains and things like that, the programs where it does give you quests and tick sheets of ways to get motivated during the day.
Gamify your life.
Yes. Simply even like, wake up and make your bed.
That's right.
Tick. And it's such a satisfaction when you do tick something, right?
Yeah, I get told off. Well, no, not told off. People just think I'm crazy with a whole bunch of people. Like, I still stick to a 4:45 get-up routine.
And I remember you telling us that last time you were here that you were at 4:45.
Yeah, and sometimes it's 6, but, like, I feel really disappointed that I didn't accomplish something if I don't do it. It's a real motivator because by the time I've finished it, I'm like, okay, well, that one's done. Now I've got something else that I could work towards. Hey, does that make sense?
Totally makes sense. And I have to say, as a teacher, I used to be really sometimes a little bit FOMO that I hadn't become the primary teacher I'd trained to be.
Right.
Because I had an exquisite intermediate teacher who every holidays we came back and the room had been rearranged and redecorated and it was themed and it was gorgy. And, you know, I was a drama teacher. So in the end, my room was always tidy, but it wasn't themed. But in some ways, I would have loved to have been a primary teacher to be able to go, like, outrageous in my classroom.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's there was a teacher, actually, who I went and saw, and I got to play drums for his school when they do, like, house, they call it, like, school singing. It's on a Friday. It blew my mind. His name is Ian Taylor. 100% changed my life. He was at my primary school, Mandadewa East Primary, and the way he taught was so exciting that I wanted to, like, be like him. And he was a really cool guy, like, who had he was humble, but he knew how to get things done well. So when I showed up to his school, his whole school is singing, like, Disney songs together and just having the time of their life joyfully. And that's Mandadewa Intermediate, you know, in a place that has, for some people, they feel like that's a place that might not have a lot of joy, but we can make it.
Eileen, did you have a school teacher that inspired you?
I did.
A music teacher or?
Not music teacher, but I had a drama teacher, Mr. Leatham, back in high school, who I adored. And I also had a primary school teacher called Mrs. Johnson, who was in my year 6 class. And she was the absolute best, you know. She would let us take home her pet guinea pig called Rua. And everyone was so excited because you'd take photos and tell the class, like, this is, you know, what did you do on the weekend with Rua? And you're like, oh, I did this. And we fed him and we cleaned his cage. Like, it wasn't too much. But, yeah, she was very inspiring because she just embodied so much joy and happiness for a year 6 class. It's like the best thing ever, really.
Very cool. Cam, did you have a teacher?
Nothing's coming to mind. My form teacher in year 9 was, or year 10, sorry, was just hilarious. But he only saw us for 15 minutes a day, so he didn't have to put too much into it. So.
Yeah, 15 minutes, I suppose, isn't that long, is it?
Yeah, no.
No. Interesting. Tell us, Natalie, have you got a teacher at DIO that inspires you?
I wouldn't say inspires, but I'd say someone who brings a lot of joy. I don't have him this year. He was my math teacher, which most people would be like, oh my God, math, boring. But he was just like, we would be finished an assessment and he would call me up and I think I'd be in trouble. And he would just show me through his camera roll and show me all the random stuff that he would do during the weekends. And he would have these like weird alarms that would go off. And he just like made math really fun while teaching us such important like lessons.
That's very cool, because something like maths could be very boring.
Yes.
And I kind of understand why a lot of students, it used to be science for me, I'd turn off very quickly when it came to science, or sometimes English, if Shakespeare was being taught badly. I hated it. But anyway, we're here to talk about music. Why are we talking about maths?
Because music and math is the same thing.
Very true.
Like,
very
the reason true. She's smart at math is because I take her to tool and she has to count the time signatures.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That's a story for another day. But yes, we're here because I've got a lot of announcements to make that I'm here to share these announcements for the first time that anyone's ever heard to you guys.
That's very cool. We're very excited.
And everyone
to
that's
hear.
Listening, and there's some cool ones that have happened. So that thing right there, do you want to pass it over, please? This is a CD that I've been working. I would say there's one song on there that I finally finished this year. And that would be, I finished it in 2011, and it sat in demo mode until, I think, at the beginning of this year, maybe? Yeah, photos of, yeah, look, they're famous.
I didn't know I was in there.
Oh, wow, and there's another face I recognise. There's a Scott McDowell.
That's right, yeah. So he came and played sax. So that show, if you remember me, I was promoting it like a while ago, and I didn't know how any of it was going to work out. So you remember that thing about...
Yeah, life, the Hawkins Centre.
Yeah, and then life being like a game that you kind of, you know. So I knew that if some opportunities presented themselves, I would be able to take them. And I learned a lot from that. We had a great time. Hey, I think
yeah, it was
like
so much fun.
Yeah, it's great.
It would have been cool if we had certainly had more people there. We had about half of it, I think, full.
It's quite a big theatre to fill, though.
It is a big theatre, 100%.
Yeah.
It was, hey, you got to take these risks. And but we had a lot of fun, and everyone that came along enjoyed it. So that is a limited, I'm never reproducing that cover art again for this particular thing. And the booklet. The booklet is like 12 pages long. It tells a story about where I am now versus where I was maybe like, you know, at the time I wrote that song.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yeah, two different people. 100%.
Very cool. So, well, that's good to know that that went well. So what's coming up next?
Okay, so the first thing is we've got I'm putting together a show that's coming to, it's going to Papakura Theatre Club. That's on the 15th of August. So that's the day that I'm releasing my album, because I didn't really have a release date. I used that show as like the launch of the album, but I didn't know when it was coming out. And yeah, but long story short, that is the date that I had to pick quickly in a situation. Someone said, when is your album coming out? And I needed to say something. 15th of August. I just made sure it was a Friday, because that's how you have to release music
that's
nowadays,
right.
to feed the algorithm. You don't feed the algorithm. Good luck with your music, my friend. So that was the date, and it just so happened that Scott McDowell, a good friend, the theatre was going to be free that night. So they set up on Thursday. They get all the tables ready for their thing on Saturday and Sunday. But Friday, it's not being used. And I was like, okay, well, can I use it? And so, yes. And so, that's the first, for now, that's the first bit of information. There's a show happening on the 15th of August. And as we go through tonight, I'll unveil some other cool facts that's going to about
so, Papakura Theatre Company is on Elliot Street.
Elliot Street.
And it's also known as Off-Broadway Theatre.
Yes.
It's a cute little theatre, about 120 seats if you put, but you're doing seating.
Seating.
Table seating.
Yeah.
So it's usually about 120 for that too. Nice little bar.
Yeah.
Nice little stage. It's a good little place to perform in.
Yeah, I like going to shows where there is an attentive audience, even just for myself being the audience member. When I saw Benny perform at Power Station, I was so upset that during her softer song, the audience was so loud. And in my mind, I don't mean to make them sound disrespectful, but she had to kind of like say to them to be quiet. And for those that paid their attention, they were gifted a fantastic performance, she'll probably never do it the same way again. Same like Kimbra, man. Kimbra's easily one of my favourite New Zealand singers, just because she allows herself to be so vulnerable. But she can't do that in a certain set. You have to be in an intimate environment, if that makes sense. Yeah.
I think that's why places like the Tuning Fork and that's so popular for Kiwi artists, right?
Yeah. And I think the story of the album and why I'm putting on the show is so important to me because, you know, we spoke about this last time, but in 2020 when I had a seizure, my life prior seizure, after seizure, it's like, I can't write that. That's,
no.
Yeah, there's like the way that I look at life and how I deal with things now is so different. And it's, yeah, that's why it's called This Chaotic Sea, because life is kind of just so chaotic. We've got to find order in that somehow.
I think that's probably how a lot of the world feel post and pre-COVID. Everyone's so different, mm-hmm. you know, and the way we cope with life. Now, I think we consider a lot more. And I think the biggest change is how easy it is now to ring in sick.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
I honestly think about how as a teacher, like, I never, never took sick days.
Neither.
But now it's that whole thing of if you are feeling sick, well, are you going to make other people sick? So it's, you know, I do think people stay at home a lot more now.
But you must have, I've had it before, you need to have the burnout days. Like, I'm not going to work because...
God, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Mm.
Especially around showtime.
Yeah, and I think that one thing that we forget to do a lot of the time is to look after ourselves. And some people, including myself before, we're always looking to blame the situation that we're in on someone else. Like, as in, this is the reason that I'm in this situation. And I learned through the pandemic and through having a seizure that we can't do that.
Mm.
You got to learn how to accept that it's part of your narrative, but don't let it overwhelm you.
Mm. So, jumping over to you guys... How did Lost Vessels start? Where did that come from?
Basically, Eileen wasn't really in the picture yet as far as the band goes, but I was in a band called Let's Get Nuked with this guy called Ethan Page, who's our drummer in Lost Vessels, and that was sort of like a heavier rock sort of style, and we sort of bonded over the similar kind of music, like a pop-punk style. Decided we needed to start something else. Long story short, we started with a vocalist that didn't work out. We then had a different vocalist who was good but moved to another country. We then had Eileen, who was working with me at the time, who I sort of asked if she would be interested in singing in the band, and she was very shocked by it.
Yeah, because I keep my singing a bit of a private thing to myself, really.
But, sent her a clip of one of the songs, and she sent a clip back with her singing over it, and everyone wanted her to join the band, and, yeah, we just sort of went from there.
So, Cam, how did you find out that Eileen sang? Was she like humming as she was working next to you or something?
The car?
Not quite as natural. No. So it was, I think this was during like some of the really, we both worked at JB Hi-Fi, and it was during like the times where we couldn't be like open to customers.
Yeah, it was like lockdown, but only certain staff could work certain shifts. So we still had to be in store.
Yeah,
and work.
Just fulfilling like online orders.
Yeah,
and
I was on the counter. So all I had to do was pick up the phone when people called and tell them if we had stock of something or if they needed an online order and where to collect. But
Just at some random point, Eileen was going to show me a voice recording on her phone of some
cassette that I found that was really weird sounding, the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the one I clicked.
No, she played me some random humming recorded.
Yeah, I had a dream where I thought of a song in my head and started singing the song after I woke up. So it was a very like tired Eileen humming to something. And I played that instead by accident.
To which I just asked if she sang or you know, sort of just said that she does sing, and then said that my band needed a singer, which, yeah, obviously worked out.
Yeah, it did. And here I am.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah. So was the style of singing that was presented to you from Cam something that, you know, you was it your style normally, or was it new?
No, so I didn't really get into like the genre of pop punk until a lot later. Until I met Cam, really, he showed me a lot more pop punk than I already knew. I knew all the big bands like, you know, Green Day and Blink and all those other guys. And he showed me a lot more, which I fell in love with. But prior to that, I was very, this is how I described it to Cam. I really like pop, indie and soft rock sort of style, and he was like, oh, okay, she's not into what I like. And then I think he showed me something, and I was like, oh, actually, I like this. And then we started bonding over the band and stuff, and showing me more. And yeah, now I'm just obsessed with that genre, and it's probably mostly what my library is comprised of.
But I think the style of singing wasn't a style of singing that you were used to either.
No, well, prior to I'd never been in a band before. This is my first band. Prior to that, I was mostly into musicals, doing musicals, but like in high school, and like drama and stuff, and singing in like choirs. So never thought about this style of singing at all. Maybe thought about maybe an indie band, but no. Pretty much dived headfirst into this and love it. So yeah, it's great.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's all kind of comes from the same place. It's just a slightly different, if we were woodwind instruments, we'd be talking about embouchure, you know, but it's just different placement in your mouth at the end of the day, and just making sure that you're not sitting on those vocal folds and hurting them.
Yeah, that's been a learning progress for me during this, because there's a lot more harder vocals in pop punk, but it's been nice to like navigate and find out what works for my voice and what keys work, and I feel like I've learned a lot, and my voice has definitely changed over the last few years being in this band too. So
can I jump in and just say I'm really excited to hear what happens when I want to hear what happens when Ruben starts writing, if he hasn't already, with you guys, because he's got him and I have a very similar taste to the music that we grew up listening to, because he's a little bit older than me, I think, and that's cool. So I'm very excited. I didn't know that about you.
It's not something common that I would probably say, but
what's your favorite musical?
I love Hairspray. I'm obsessed with it.
Hairspray's a good one.
Yeah.
It is. It's a really good one. Very cool. Yes. Well, Stephen and I are musical theatre probably first. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was interesting because I was talking at the New Zealand Singing Teachers Conference during the week, and they're predominantly classically trained, which I am originally. Like, so having that original classical training makes all the difference.
I'm
but
not
any
classically
style.
Trained.
No, me either. No. I'm an amateur, really.
You know that play Big Fish? I went and saw that at the Papakura Theatre Club. I was like almost ready to cry. And that scene with where she's sitting on the park bench. Oh my gosh. Yeah, just musical theatre touches a different part of your soul.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, and I suppose that's the point of it, is to tell
100%.
A story. So, yeah, very cool. Now, is it too soon to say that I hear that you've got something to announce / share / secret?
Yeah. No, we've been working a little while.
Yeah, over a year.
recording with a good friend of ours, and we shot a music video with another good friend of ours as well. So we've got a new single coming out on the 25th of July, which is called Broken But Okay. And we're very excited to share it.
Yeah, it's probably one of my favorite songs that we've ever done. I like went hard on the vocals, had a great time singing along. So yeah, I think this is probably one of our proudest ones we've done.
You guys can't hear it, but it's just playing quietly underneath the
studio.
I can hear it.
So there you go. So tell us, what's this song Broken But Okay about, Cameron?
So it's essentially about a life you've left behind, which you're struggling to leave behind.
Wow. And is it safe to ask where the inspiration for this song came from?
It's just something Eileen said to me over text. She just said, we were talking about something. I think you were trying to sell a house or something like that.
Yeah, it was some finance thing.
Yeah, it wasn't the best situation. And you just simply said, part of my life that I can't close. And so I sent her back a song idea.
Is that... I've stopped the music now, just so you know. But we just got a little bit of an idea. So when's that being dropped?
25th. Yeah.
So we'll be able to play it on the 27th, because the 25th is a Friday. So we can't play it till 2 days later. So we'll make sure we play that on the 27th. So is that a normal way that you find your inspiration for music writing? Is it from lines that you hear or things, or is it from personal experience, or what's usually in way that you are inspired? He's shaking
his
head.
That's deep, bro. Come on, man.
Yeah, give I can't us answer deep. For him either, because he writes all the lyrics. So yeah.
I want to know these questions too.
I would say that's an occasional thing, just because we have another song which is already out called FMB. And
oh, yeah.
Can't play this
I
on
like
the
this
radio.
One.
Yeah.
Can't play this one on
I'm
right
guessing
now.
What FMB stands for. Yeah.
Something my brain and...
No, it means... fudge, milk, and bananas.
Yeah.
So fudge, milk, and bananas, that's right. So, you know, Eileen had literally said, like a couple of years ago, she literally said this over text message, and I was like, that's an interesting thought.
So, Eileen, have you had a go at songwriting?
Oh, I've tried many times. I can't do it. I just don't have, like, the natural talent to compose lyrics that are, like, beautiful, I guess, in a way. Like, I can write lyrics, but they're very simple. And I've helped Cam a couple times with some songs, but like I've written songs by myself, but it just doesn't work out as how I want it to. I don't
think that's true.
No, it's true. I mean, I haven't had like any of the songs we've gotten. Lost Vessels isn't written by me or anything, so I'd like to be better. I've told Cam that I'd love to help him a bit more and like be more involved in like the writing process. But yeah, like it's wild. Sometimes he'll be working like on a guitar in the living room or something, and all of a sudden he's got like a structure of the verse and then a chorus, and I'm just like, how do you do that in a day?
It's I know their feeling. You can't explain it. And then if you let someone else into that process, depending on who you're working with, it's a relationship between you and a song. You're bringing to life something that isn't yours to begin with in the first place.
Yeah.
You got to make sure that it's a good representation of what its intention was meant to be. Because the lyrics and things, they come to me and they'll come to you and to everybody. You just don't know where they come from.
Yeah.
And then the music and the melodies tell the story that you just didn't know existed in the first place.
This might be a bit controversial, but have you used ChatGPT for any of your lyrics or to help you?
Not yet. You use like a thesaurus sort of style to see. Is it a thesaurus? Where you see like alternate words, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Rhyme Zone. I use Rhyme Zone.
Yeah, I've got this app called Rhymer's Block.
Yeah. But that's about
that
it.
That shows me words that rhyme sometimes.
Yeah. But no AI, no ChatGPT? Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because I wonder, I mean, I know that for our fifth anniversary, Stephen played a song that I didn't know he was going to play.
Right.
About Stephen and me and Kick Arts and 5 years. And I was like, how the hell did you do that? And it turned out that he had literally ChatGPT'd, put in a whole lot of information. I've got pink hair. He wears a polo shirt. We're here on a Sunday. We talk about the arts, blah, 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 blah. And it gave him two versions of the song. So we've got a ballad. And then we've got an up-tempo.
Ooh.
And they sound absolutely fantastic. And I was just blown away. And he was like, I just put it into ChatGPT.
Well, I mean, like I learned recently that there's AI music on Spotify now, which was wild. A wild thought, really. Didn't think I would ever come across AI music. But, it's there.
Yeah, well, there's TikTok apps where you can sing a song in and then an AI... And you put a photo or an image or a mood board of what you would like to look like, and you describe the kind of sound you want, and it turns your voice into music.
Of course.
And, like, I think that's quite scary, though, because then what happens when you sing live without the auto-tune, without the effects and all that kind
of
stuff?
Like how they used to do back in the day when music was real?
You're going to sound shit.
Well, no. that's funny because, like, if you listen to old, like, Elvis records, that was one guitar and a mic. One guitar and him with one mic, and they were etching it to record. So if you muck up, that's why it's called a phonograph, because it's a photograph of the sound. So the sound of that situation. So when you listen to an old recording of a blues artist, that is legitimately somebody who was going through whatever was going on in their life at that time that caused them to write that piece of music. And you're listening back to all the... You're Robert Johnson, man. Just go read Robert Johnson and learn about him.
I've got LPs from my granddad that are like... Underneath all his song is that, you know, it's obviously been recorded as it's going round and round and round, which is quite funny. Hey, now, I heard that you might be singing for us.
Yeah,
tonight.
Yeah. I was debating whether or not we should, but of course we should. Why wouldn't we?
So I
we
don't know.
Actually.
Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. I might have left my guitar at home. I actually did take it once and forgot to take the batteries with me, so that was funny, but luckily they're just double S. Yes, and a very special performance because we've never played this song the way that we're going to play it, which is wonderful. I love that.
So while you're getting your guitar organized, should we get Eileen to tell us what the song's about?
Ooh.
No.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to let you interpret what you think the lyrics are about. Because I could say what it's about, but even I kind of do know, but it would be great to hear what you think about it.
And Ben's going to organise his guitar, so I'm going to turn his mic off.
Okay, so it's all up to me now. okay, this is my interpretation, is that, like, sometimes you just have really, really tough days, and you, well, like, I mean, the song title is called Run and Hide. But sometimes you just have really tough days and you just really want to escape that. And you sometimes it feels like it's an out-of-body experience, really, like going out and just seeing what's happening in front of you. But, like, your body's there, but you're out there looking at, like, the top view. But you don't actually want – you don't need to run and hide. But, yeah, I don't know. That's my interpretation. Cam, you've heard the song too a few times.
That sounds pretty accurate.
Very cool. Our next guest has just arrived. Ooh. So I've just said who's also a singer and is joining us shortly. Oh, there we go. Ben's got the guitar ready, so we can turn you back on. All right, so.
Now I'm just going to sort this mic out.
That's fine. I'm going to try and mix you. We'll see how we go. I'm sure we'll be fine.
Let's see what's going on.
You right?
I think so, yeah. Now we should be okay.
Cool. All right, so do you want to introduce the song, Ben?
Yeah, I think what she said was pretty spot on.
I'm really glad.
Yeah, I guess with songwriting, no one really knows. But in this case, I think I learned across in my journey in the last 4 or 5 years that, yes, you can choose to run and hide from some of these things, but actually you learn to grow from stepping into the unknown and stepping into it. Now, I wonder if my... Natalie, are you all right? Have you pressed the open? Okay. We're live on air and my daughter's trying to let someone in. So here we go. This is called Run and Hide. Comes falling around you. Would you run and hide away? Just watch the chaos from a distance while it burns on through the light of day. Days going bad and you want to hide away, and all of the things you said is keeping you awake. And if you could take it back, would you do it all again? Common ground is all we stand on. When we hit the floor again, and in the end is what we fight for, that unites us all the same. When the day's going bad and you want to hide away, and all of the things you said are keeping you awake. And if you could take it back, would you do it all again? And again, and again. we're going to stop there, and there is a reason for that.
Oh, if you know what
I'm talking about. We're going to save that part for the album. If you want to hear the song, it's on the 15th. It comes out 15th of August, and I promise you, I hope it doesn't disappoint. That's my favorite part of the song, and we choose not to play it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Wow. So you've sung now.
Yeah.
Check that out.
Yeah, yeah. I was a bit nervous, not going to lie. First time singing on radio. So.
Well, I was going to say, it is a bit different singing on the radio, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's not like the same band setting or in a practice room or on a stage where you've got a live audience to see your reaction and stuff. So, yeah, it's different.
No, really cool. I just love, yeah. I love that your confidence in your strumming. You know, there's just
a real
energy to your strumming.
You know, I reckon gave me that? That's my kapa haka teacher from primary school for sure. I would say, yeah, like yeah, if you've got a good, strong kapa haka guitarist, it holds it all down.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, because it's generally the only thing that's accompanying you, right?
Other than your harmonies, it's beautiful harmonies.
Yeah. And your footfall.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, I can get that. And there's something about a New Zealand strum. I do think that it is, you know, it's like New Zealand sound. There is a New Zealand sound. You know, I grew up listening to good old Otago New Zealand sound, the Clean and all of those, you know, kind of groups and that. But, yeah, I do think Kiwi music has
something special about it, and I think that's true with many, many artists. And so another fact for the show that's coming up, I'll drop you another hint, another cool thing. So I've got a couple of students from Papakura High School, the school that I went to, and I've asked them to come and open the show for us, and they are both year 13, and they're gonna perform. They're amazing.
Very cool.
So one of them is named Jen, and she'll be with me this weekend, coming at a private launch event, just to explain what's going on and so forth, and very exciting.
Very cool, very cool. Now, have you got any other exciting things to share with us?
Yeah, the cover art, as I said, is changing. So the big thing is the 12th of July. I will make sure you'll start to see some press stuff coming out tomorrow. But 12th of July, there'll be a big announcement about the show with all the details, where you can buy tickets. It's limited to 100 seats only with tables and chairs. You can buy a table of six for $110, or it's $20 per ticket. There'll also be information about how to pre-order or get a copy of that CD there that's never going to get made again. It will be the same CD with different artwork. But right. That tells a story of us, you know, coming.
And that's special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool.
Very cool.
There you go.
Very cool. Now, we're actually going to jump to another Kiwi artist now who I had the pleasure of interviewing during the week. So this is Marla coming to us from Queenstown. All the way from freezing cold Queenstown, I'm joined by a new up-and-coming artist who's just dropped her first single, and that is Marla. Kia ora.
Hello, how are you?
Very good. Now, tell me, music, what made you decide that going down this journey was what you wanted to do?
Ever since I was younger, I have always felt a very special connection with it, and especially with songwriting. And I don't know, I feel like it's always just very much stuck by my side throughout my life, and kind of seems like the best option for me to continue on with as well.
So when you say songwriting, tell us a little bit about what is your process when it comes to writing a song. Is it words first then music, or is it music then words, or do you kind of do it together?
It depends on the day. Cause sometimes it's, usually I'd say it's music and then music and then lyrics, but it kind of depends. Sometimes I get inspiration from different things, and that just builds off of each other, depending.
And so what kind of things give you inspiration?
Well, heartbreak. That's a big one. And I feel like living in New Zealand gives me a lot of inspiration for some reason, like just being around things that are so beautiful is quite good to grasp inspiration off. And also, I love talking about other people's relationships and especially me. I love talking about other people's relationships and kind of forming that into a song because I love writing about that from my perspective. And I really enjoy
the outsider looking in type thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Very cool. And I do notice that in a lot of your social media marketing things, especially on TikTok, you know, you use your environment as kind of look at my backdrop at my house and, hey, I'm dropping a song.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of use it as like a, it's like my hope that someone will watch and be like, wow, that's pretty, and then be like, oh, this song's cool.
Yeah, how much do you think, like, did you realise before, say, dropping this single, how much work actually needed to go in from yourself to promote and push yourself to the front?
Yes, it has. I feel like it has definitely been a bit of a shock, to be, like, honest, but I really enjoy it, and I love all of, like, the promoting side of it, and obviously I'm independent, so I don't have any one managing me or anything, so it's kind of like I just get to go free for all on whatever I want to do, and it's kind of fun, which is, yeah.
So it's a challenge, but it definitely is exciting once you get a handle on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool. So tell us, if I was to pick up your phone and log into Spotify, what might I find on your Spotify?
I have the most wide range of music taste, so I feel like a lot, but I would say my favorite artists are probably Joni Mitchell, who's my number one, and Carole King, and Norah Jones. Then more recently, like, I love, like, Gracie Abrams and Taylor Swift, of course, and Sabrina Carpenter. Oh, and Jen Wigmore, who's like a New Zealand representative of of what music I really love.
And is it only that kind of pop/genre, or is there other kind of music genres that you're into?
No, I love most every genre, apart from like hard rap. Not really that much of a rap fan. But yeah, I love jazz and soul and rock and stuff, and yeah.
So we've got a kick arts question about if you were receiving, so it might be your first TUI award, who might you be thanking? Who have been your kind of inspiration or your mentors or your help along the way that when you get your first big award, Kiwi Music Award or even bigger, that you would be thanking, do you think?
I would definitely say probably my mum and my dad, because they have, like, always accepted, like, my love for music and just, like, let me roll with it. Like, they convinced me that it's a good idea that I should go to uni for music next year, even though I was kind of like, oh, I don't know. And they were like, just do it. It's fun. You'll love it. And it's really good that they've been really supportive of it, because I know it's not a really stable career option. So, yeah, definitely them.
Fabulous. So you talked then, you just touched on where you hope to go with this. So, uni, tell us about where you're planning to go next year or you hope to go.
Yeah, well, I hope to go to Massey in Wellington and do the contemporary music course there. It looks so cool because I did a tour of it recently, and it's just completely and utterly, like, my scene. Like, I can totally imagine myself there, and it just looks so cool. So I'm hoping I get to go there.
Awesome. What is it? Is there anything specifically that might stop you from going? Is it a grades thing because it's a university? Like, do you have to have specific grades to get in, or is it an auditioned course?
You have to have, obviously, UE and stuff, but you do have to do an audition as well. So hopefully that would go okay. But, yeah, I'm hoping that it does.
So now let's talk specifically about Evergreen. What mm-hmm. made you title? Where did this inspiration for this song come from? What made it Evergreen?
this was one of my songs that just like, as soon as I started writing it, it just kind of like all fell out of my mouth. And I kind of don't think about it when I'm doing it like that. And I am surrounded by evergreen trees, so that probably was like a little factor in it. But I don't know, I really like using metaphors, and I thought that that was just a really weird extended metaphor that I kind of enjoyed playing with a bit.
Cool. And is this something that you have presented in Rock Quest or any of the kind of Band Quest or any stuff, or is this like totally new?
No, this has been one of the songs that is very much, I've just played at gigs and stuff, but no competitions or anything, because I wanted to keep it like my song, you know?
And was it recorded, like, what's your recording process? Like, you've said you're independent. Are there recording studios in Queenstown?
There's like one, and I don't really know the people that own it. I don't know. It's kind of a confusing situation, but we go to my producer called Steve Harrop, and he lives in Coorau, and they're like the nicest people ever. And we record there for a few days. And I mean, I took my uncles down with me to play music, to play like the drums and guitar and stuff on my song. And yeah, we record there depending on what songs I have going at the moment.
Well, that's cool that you've got family help, because often for getting your things recorded, it's the studio band or the people around you that, you know, cost the most. And it's must be so much better to have authentic, real players rather than getting AI to play you a drum track or...
Much better. It's like we did on my first song that I won to like a Play It Strange competition or something in like year 10. We used like fake drums, just like technology ones. And then we used real drums this time, and the difference is like insane. It makes it sound so much fuller and pretty, and it's so cool.
So you've just touched on another competition you've done in the past. So you've done Play It Strange?
Mm-hmm. I've done Rock Quest for the past 3 years, and I'm actually submitting to the Nationals this week. And Play It Strange, me and my friend Ruby won a finalist. We were finalists for the Play It Strange competition this past month, which is pretty cool. So we get to record our song together as well.
That's fantastic. And whereabouts do you go to record that?
We'll go to my producer as well.
Awesome. That's very cool. So if we were to get you back on Kick Arts in, say, 5 years, what's the trajectory? Where would you like to be, say, in 5 or 10 years' time?
Oh, I think I want to be in New York. And I want to be definitely still making music and hopefully have a little bit of stability and not be really like struggling. And I hope that everything just kind of ends up like working out nicely along the way.
So Marla, before we play your song, tell us, where can people find out more about you, follow you, get everything that they need to know who Marla is?
I'm on TikTok, Instagram at Marla Music, and I post a lot on there, so you can go follow me if you want to see any updates on new music and everything like that.
Fantastic. Well, to play out the interview, we're going to hit your single. So how about you introduce it here on Kick Arts?
Your eyes tell a story that is so far gone. The olive green, I'm reminiscing about how we used to be in the tints of brown. The invisible crown that I placed on your
head. Hey guys, this is Marla, and you're about to listen to my new single, Evergreen.
Take this.
trees, leaves are falling. Lost and confused, just for a man. The doubt has ruined all my plans. You should have heeded the warning. Will the night turn to morning? And mistakes are made, you will be repaid for the hurt you caused. And the love you lost is the glass shards fall when we hit a wall. The evergreen will come falling. And for all those years I've held the ghost of you, and I hear your voice, it echoes round my room. And I'll tell the story to my future kids. I'll smile and say I'll do the same thing I did. I fell for his games, his incessant lies, his manipulations and words to disguise.
That was Marla. Congratulations. It's great to hear new upcoming and just hear where they're coming from. Like, everyone's got to start somewhere. And while that was playing, we swapped out some of our guests in the studio. So joining us is long-time listener, not first-time guest, probably, is this your third time, Jenny?
Yeah, it's my third time here.
So welcome into the studio, Jenny.
Thank you for having me again. It's great to be back.
And it's nice to have, because you both in the studio, because last time you were here, it was the two of you.
No.
Wasn't it? Weren't you here together?
No, we spoke about the fact that she'd been on the show.
The last time I was here, I was with a dance group that you were interviewing as well.
Oh, well, totally wrong.
That's right. But I love the fact that you... I love the fact that you thought in advance, that you already dreamt that there was going to be a time when we were weird. So, yes.
So, did we just tell you that Jenny brought us?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you were disappointed that I had not brought, and I was understandable. I could understand that. Yeah.
I have to say, Jenny was and is still the first person that ever brought us sweet treats to the studio.
I'm sorry to have let you down this time, but look, I have a really good excuse.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you had a pretty good excuse because you've been driving all day because you were gigging last night.
Yeah, I didn't think you'd want some, I don't know, three-day-old cookies, you know.
Yeah,
I was in Palmerston North for my first show of my Girl Next Door tour which is the first ever tour that I've gone with my music.
How fantastic. So tell us a little, big clap.
That's a big clap from me.
Tell us a little bit about the tour. Like, where's it taking you apart from Palmerston North?
So I've been, as an independent artist, booking it all myself and figuring out the ropes of how to organise a show, how to organise a tour, making my own posters and doing my own PR for it.
Canva?
Yes, Canva is the way. I'm very lucky to actually have Canva through my workplace, and my boss is like, just use it, do whatever you need. And I was like, thank you so much. So Canva is
definitely
great.
A time saver, right?
100%. And so I booked all the shows. It's an acoustic show, so I'm bringing my guitarist of my band, Neo. He's also in a band called Back to the Hillside, if you are familiar with their music.
I've heard of that name for sure.
Yeah, they're growing. They're doing really good. So Neo has been in my band since about 2021. He's the longest running member of my band. It's very impressive. And he's playing guitar. I'm playing guitar. He's also singing some harmonies. And we've got some mashup songs. So we're focusing on songs that are from me that are going to be on my future Girl Next Door album, which we're halfway through recording. But there's also some surprise songs that are sing-alongs that some people will know, hopefully. From last night, it seemed that most people knew the majority of the mashup songs, which is very cool. And we are also going to answer your first question, my bad, I derailed.
No, totally cool.
We're going to the Jam Factory next in Tauranga, which will be this coming Saturday, the 12th of July. And then the final show of the tour is in Auckland on the 26th of July at Move Space.
So you've given yourself some space between them to travel back to Auckland to do your day job, and then you hit the road again on a Friday?
Yes, exactly. That's the thing. Obviously, as a independent artist, self-funded, I have to keep going with the day job. But how do I say this? I enjoy being busy.
Do you ever have... We talked earlier, Ben talked about, you know, burnout days where you just have to take the time away for yourself and your sanity. Do you ever, on a Friday, feel like you need to take a burnout day so you can hit the road earlier? don't answer that in case the boss is listening.
No. Thankfully, with my job, I teach music, so it's also in the same zone as, like, my passion, which I'm very grateful for, to be able to stay in working where my passion is. I think I'd lose my mind if I was in a regular job.
It's also cool, though, for your students. Like, I was talking about this, I can't think who it was with, about the fact that it's so cool when you are a teacher of performing arts for your kids to know that you are still doing what you are teaching, so that you're not just talking the talk, that you can still walk the talk.
Yeah, exactly. And my students also inspire me just as much as I hope to inspire them. Like, they're doing some amazing things. I've got a student tomorrow who's performing in Into the Woods at the Playhouse Theatre.
I went today.
You went today?
I was there.
Oh, no way. My student's in the alt cast. She's one of the leads of the alt, so I'm really excited to go watch her performance. It's nice to see them out in the community and making music together and doing performance.
Mm. And really cool that you're able to go and support as well. I think it's really cool when teachers are there to be able to support students and they know that you're not just teaching them in that paid time.
Yeah, that reminds me of Ruig has always been supportive. Even after high school, he made sure that he would come to my university.
Yeah, man, I remember that very vividly. The University of Auckland, where I studied songwriting, and I introduced Jenny to that and a few other students, and she actually went. And even though it was during the pandemic years when it was probably a completely different course, I did actually come along to your performance. I think it was your third year? I can't remember now.
I think you came along to the third year.
Yeah.
The very, very last one that I did. Yeah.
So, a bit left field, because you're talking about studying and supporting and teachers and things. So I was part of a panel this week talking about, we were actually talking about musical theatre, but I think it's important for music as well. And we were saying how do we, or should we be, encouraging students who want to pursue performing arts, given the trajectory, is there actually paid full-time work in these things? Like, should we be sending them off to tertiary to study in things when, like for musical theatre, if you want full-time performance work in musical theatre, you kind of have to go overseas. So how do you guys feel? Like, well, Ben, how do you feel as a teacher when kids come to you and go, I want to perform for the rest of my life?
I say to them, is that your calling then? Because, like, for some people, I think there's a we spoke about this before we went on air, right? That special connection between somebody that is opening themselves up with a song that they wrote. It's beautiful. Mm. It's very, very, and it's also, it heals you as a songwriter, right? Like, you get to, there's two ways of writing songs. You can write a story and a narrative, but then there's going to come a time when you're going to have to deal with something and write about it. And that's very healing. Mm. And so for a lot of my students, I saw it with a lot where I was just, you just well up with tears because you could feel exactly what they felt. So for me, I always say to students, if that's something that you want to participate in and enjoy, don't worry about the money. The money will come to you when it's required. Just focus on trying to give everything you can to being in the present moment so that that song can resonate with somebody who needs to hear it somewhere.
Mm.
So
Jenny, now that you're kind of doing this first tour and you've said you're learning so much about booking venues and marketing and all those things, what does is there anything that you wish you were told earlier that maybe would help you now? Do you think that you were aware of how much hard work it was actually going to be?
I think the thing that helped me the most with preparing for this tour was actually preparing my own singles for release and doing my own PR, because the PR is the hardest part. It's the finding who to contact and to write the emails and how to make an EPK and that kind of thing. I learned how to make an EPK at university. They showed us how to do that, which was very useful. But also observing what other songwriters are doing for their shows and how they're marketing. That's what I've been doing. I've never stopped being a student myself. I'm always looking at what other people are doing, particularly with marketing. I have certain people that, like certain artists in New Zealand that I've kept a watchful eye on just to see what they're up to and see what festivals they're doing or what radio stations they've been on, that kind of thing. Because especially if they're in my niche, then I know who to contact.
Little bit like Eileen said earlier, you know, that she was like, I didn't know how to contact. We didn't know how to contact.
Yeah,
the
there's
radio.
A weird thing that, yeah. Like, you know, growing up with the CDs, you know, like that's how we got our music out there. And then once streaming,
real groovy was the place to be, right? That's where we got everything.
And then once streaming came out and internet music came out, all of a sudden it changes like the marketing and the strategy of how do you get out there, and that can be quite intimidating because, you know, in some cases, radio and other places won't really pay attention to you because they just get inundated because music, everyone can create music now. Everyone, so for sure.
And it would AI, same. As we were talking about
That's
before.
Right. It'll be like me. It's like if I got thousands of emails a day, then I'm only going to be able to see so many. So how do you do something that I find, I'm real big for the say, like not tacky to get over with your fans or with a group of people. Hmm. Like TikTok, I just won't do. And anything, but then that's not a bad thing if that's the audience you want to go for. But that's what you have to, you know, like authentic artists like Jenny and many others that are putting their souls on their sleeve, you have to either play that game or you've got to find a way to get somebody or people to pay attention to you, and then they want to bet on your side. That's where it comes down to it. The moment you become famous, Jenny, you're famous. Everyone's going to come running. And that can happen.
Yeah.
And it must be scary.
Natalie, how many people that you see, because I'm assuming as a young person who's going to be 14 in 8 days. Oh, did we already say that? How many people that you see on TikTok do you then go on, like artists, do you go then and listen, like maybe look at their Spotify or look at their Insta to see or hear them?
Personally, I don't have TikTok. I'm not one of those people who want to get addicted yet.
But well, Instagram then?
Nope.
Nope. Facebook?
No.
Oh, so where do you get your music then? Spotify.
Sometimes just around, like things I'll hear on the radio that I might find a catchy, or just like my friends around me, like my friend Maddie, who I listen to some of the music that she likes because we'll share AirPods in class. And it's just like I find a lot more people, like what people like, that just hits different. Like you have a more emotional side, and you like, once you know the story of why they listen to it, it's like, oh, like that's where I get lots of my inspiration from. And my type of style of music has definitely changed from like hip hop, because I'm a hip hop dancer, to slow music, somber songs, because that's what she listened to in class, and it really like connected to me.
Very cool. What do you think, Jenny, when you hear someone of Natalie's age talking about how music hits her? Does that influence you in any kind of way, or your thinking, or maybe?
That's a good question. I'm just actually relieved to hear that for once you're not on social media as a young person yet. That is
you're
very
welcome.
Refreshing.
we discuss this a lot as growing up, and it's Natalie's choice to do that. But yes, carry on.
Yeah, that was the main thing I took from what Natalie was saying.
Yeah.
But I guess that means that I would have to figure out, as an artist, another way to reach listeners like you. So if you're not on social media, I'm going to have to try to get on radio. Yeah. The way that I learned music when I was, or learned of new music when I was your age, was I watched a lot of, MTV?
Yeah, music television.
Yeah.
Just same with me. And your parents would have played music around the house, right?
Mm. Yeah. Sometimes, mum mainly, in the car, lots of ABBA.
Good choice.
But I was glued to MTV. Mm. I'd watch it all day.
Yeah, see, I was records. Mum had an amazing record collection.
Same.
So, Queen, Bread, Fleetwood Mac,
yeah, man.
You know, all those kind of songwriters. And even Sunday mornings for us, because we had to be quiet on a Sunday morning. It was Mum's Lion Day. But we used to get up and we would listen to either the radio stories, so the radio kids' radio programs, you know,
okay,
like...
Same with me, man.
Yeah. Or we had records.
BFM.
We had records. And we had a record player that we were allowed to put the needle down on. And then there was Mum's record player. And we were not allowed to touch Mum's record player. But I had one of those little suitcases, you know?
Yeah.
That we used to pull out. And it didn't matter if we scratched a record, as long as we weren't allowed to touch Mum's records either.
Yeah, so, that's fair.
Yeah.
Did you have those vinyls that had stories on them? Like, we had the little red engine and stuff?
Yep.
Those were great.
Yeah, and Spike Milligan.
Yeah.
All those cool kind of things. How do you, because, you know, like you were saying, you've got a CD here, but, like, my son came to me a few weeks back, you know, because his new laptop doesn't have a way for him to put in his SD card, though, from his actual camera, his digital camera. And, you know, I think that, and it's like cars don't have CD players in them now. So do you think that CDs...
They're not going to die. You know what's cool about CDs and vinyl collections and record collections? And think about books. When you go to that person's house, you can tell who that person is by the music that they're willing to show you that they listen to.
Well, vinyls are getting cool again, aren't they?
Yeah, but they're a bit expensive now. Hard to produce. There is a company like Elastic State, for example, if you're listening, you should go check them out. But they can make vinyl on demand. So I've got 3 copies of that album with that cover art coming to me on vinyl. That would cost thousands of dollars, but then you have to say you want, say, like 150. I ain't selling 150 records.
Now, Jenny, you've said that you've got this record underway, but you've recently launched one of the singles from it, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Stuck on You came out last Friday. So,
on a Friday, did you hear that, folks? We've been hearing about how things have changed. It's now Friday releases.
I'm
going to
make it Tuesday again soon.
Oh, I thought it's been Friday releases for the last couple of years.
It's been it for a while, but we can talk about that later on.
Anyway, tell us about Stuck on You.
So, Stuck on You is a song that I wrote during my third year of university. And I wrote it because sometimes as a songwriter, you get stuck writing about the same topic, idea, person, situation, whatever it may be. And no matter how hard you try, you cannot stop writing about that situation. And I found myself in that situation, so I decided to write a song about how I couldn't stop writing songs about that.
Very cool. Well, do you want to introduce this here on Kick Arts?
Absolutely. Hi, I'm Jenny Smith. This is Stuck On You, my new single.
You're a great source of inspiration, but it's all my imagination. I overthink possibilities, they make good stories, and oh, so vivid in my head. Since we met, I've had a new tattoo, and it kinda looks just like you, but I don't want to admit it. No, I don't want to admit it. Cause you satisfaction, trying to describe your disposition. There's so many things I could say, but I wanna make you look my way. You're my best work of fiction.
Wow, pretty cool to hear that. How does it feel when you hear yourself on the radio?
It feels pretty cool. I've actually become more used to hearing my songs because my boyfriend plays all my songs in the car.
What a good boyfriend.
Just randomly in his playlist, I'll pop up and I'll be like, oh, that's me. Yeah, I'm used to it now. But to start off with, it was a bit weird. I was like, whoa, a little bit of imposter syndrome. I'm like, is that me?
She's real famous. Jenny's always been famous in my eyes.
Very cool. Yeah, how do you feel when you hear yourself being played?
Same thing. Like, initially, at first, it really depends on what, you know, how it's been recorded for sure. Like, if it's a really good recording, first and foremost. But yeah, like, something like the song we'll play at the end of the show, man, super happy with. And it's nothing other than it ended up coming out really cool. Like, that's what I heard in my head, but even better, and I want other people to enjoy that, you know?
Very cool.
Hopefully they take something away from it.
How do you think you would feel? You were saying that you've only ever sung in choirs. Is singing more something that you're interested in? Or is it just mainly dancing?
I'm definitely, like, one of those people who would really like to be part of, like, a musical theatre kind of thing. I have been asked a couple of times to try singing some of Dad's songs, but the amount of times I hear them in the car, I probably would be sick of my own voice by then. It's also quite hard because, like, I'm not, like, at that stage where I feel like I'm confident to sing, like, super well in a, like, a big, you know, space by myself. Like, I'm so used to being around people and them harmonizing with me instead of it, like, just being myself.
We'll get her there, eh?
Of course you will.
Theater, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you've got lots of opportunities probably around school, you. It's just finding them.
Yeah, at school we've got the new production Chicago coming up.
Very cool.
Which will be in 2026, which will be exciting.
Very cool. Well, and the thing is too, if it's something you want to do, it's about kind of, okay, find some lessons and get ready so that when those auditions come up, you're ready, right?
I've got a lot of singing friends, so all my friends are really good at helping to just, like, get that confident boost up, especially when I'm practicing, you know, at their, like, I'll just, like, hum a song at their house and they'll be like, oh my God, that's so good. And it's like, you know, just like that confident boost that it gives you.
Yeah, definitely. So after this tour, what's in the future for you, Jenny?
More music to be released. And I've had lots of interest about a South Island tour, so I'm contemplating
that. I wonder why that is, Jenny.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Well, tell us, why is that? Is it something that we're meant to know?
Yeah, I think so. Would I be right in saying, because you're, you know, Jenny's heart is in country, and it's always been that way, and I respect that, you know. The country scene is massive in New Zealand. If you go looking for it, it exposes itself a lot. But, man, go and listen to some of these people perform and sing. They have massive followers. So, yes, is that why you're going to the South Island?
Well, I think that might be part of it. I had promotion on Instagram, Facebook, and the amount of people that have just gone, no South Island dates, why not? And I also sent my recent single, Stuck On You, to radio stations, and the I mentioned in the press release that I was going on tour, and the South Island radio stations were saying, oh, well, let us know when you're coming down here. And I asked them about venues that would be good. And, of course, they know all the good venues, being the locals. So
I know Simon Thompson, who's pretty big in the country scene in the South Island. Him and I went to school together, so I've got hookups with that guy. He's a great guitarist. Massive beard, too.
There you go. Well, you need a massive beard down there to stay warm. It's freezing down there. I was so cold. I was in Queenstown a few weeks ago, and it was very cold. Very cold. So, I know we've had you on the show before, Jenny, but tell us a little bit about, I mean, we know that music started for you way back when and you had encouraging teachers and things, but tell us a little bit about your song process. I'm sure we've asked you this before. How do you go about writing a song?
This is the toughest question because I would love to give a straight answer, but it's never the same process ever. For some songs, I start with a melody. Other songs, I start with lyrics. Sometimes I start from a title. Sometimes I start a song with the pre-chorus. Sometimes I start it with the bridge. There is no, like, way to, like, there's no set method for me. It just kind of happens. Some of the songs write themselves.
I really liked what Tam said earlier about how it was one simple lyric. It was a sentence that Eileen had said to him or texted to him that motivated him to then explode out a whole song.
Yeah, well, Jenny's a great lyricist in my mind. So the song that we'll play at the end, I had the music, but I had nothing. other than the music. So I asked Jenny, if, and we worked on it for a few years, and the first time she came over and showed me what she had, I was like, oh my gosh. And we just tweaked a little bit of the story to make it make sense. And after that, all of the lyrics, all of the melody is really Jenny. I kind of produced it more than anything, but it was perfect. It couldn't have been any other song, or it couldn't have been any other story in my mind.
How do you come up with, this is a bit of a weird question, how do you come up with a different harmony that's not just thirds?
I don't even know how to answer that myself.
I personally find harmonies a challenge, so I don't know if I'm the best person to ask that question.
Because I'm like that too, like in our four, because we've got a four-person cabaret group, and they just flip out harmonies and things, and I'm like, okay, can someone write that harmony down? Because I can learn it if it's written, you know. But, you know, you listen to some singers and the harmonies they have, and you're just like, whoa, where did that interval come from? You know?
The barbershop days, just voices. You have the baritone, and you got the tenor, and the alto, and the soprano, and together they're just creating these crazy chords.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Gospel, church music, soul music.
I suppose it's just the more you listen to, the more you hear the intervals and go, oh, that would work there.
Yeah, absolutely. I also think it's good to get started on harmonies early. Because when I was learning to sing, any time I said, I want to learn how to sing a harmony, my teachers would always be like, no, you're a really strong lead. We need you to be the lead. And I'd be in a group and I'd be like, I want to do the harmony. And they're like, we need you in lead. So I kind of never really had the opportunity to be taught how to do harmony until I was an adult.
See, in choirs, I was always put on the part because I could hold a part.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's, there's a lot of people that if they've always sung the melody, it's very hard to then swap to something else, right?
Harmony requires you to be in flow state. That's kind of when you're making it up. Because you make a dumb decision on your note, it's going to sound out for sure. But there's something beautiful about being in harmony with somebody else. Yeah, it's very, like we sing at in our church choir, parish choir, and it's so joyful. I leave every Sunday filled with joy because of the music. That's it. And the people behind me singing, especially the Tongan group, man, oh my gosh, go there and you listen to them sing. You cannot leave without a smile.
Very cool.
Built into them, you know, built into us.
Now, you had so many announcements to make.
Yeah.
Do you think you've made them all?
No, do you want one more?
Sure.
I'll give you one more.
So we've had that, let's just quickly recap. We've had that you're playing on the 16th.
Yes.
Is that the right date?
15th.
Oh my goodness. The 15th.
It's Friday
at
night.
Papakura Theatre Company.
Correct.
Off Broadway on Elliott Street.
Yes.
You're going to have copies of your CD that's for sale.
Yep.
You're going to have yummy nibble platters in a bar and all those things happening.
Yep.
Okay.
And then I announced, if you remember, do you remember what the other thing I announced was? It's Test You. I announced one other thing.
Yeah, you did.
I can't help you there.
Oh.
So the other announcement is that we've got some students from Papakura High School, the school that I went to.
That's right.
Yeah. And so, not only that, so the third and last announcement is I'd like to say that my music teacher from Papakura High School, who was easily one of the biggest influences of my life, hands down, she knows this, Andrew Abram, if she's listening to it right now, she allowed me to be myself and explore. So did my parents. And I've asked her, would she like to come and join me and play a couple of the most poignant and important songs on the piano, because I want to change up that sound.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's going to play. So
awesome.
That's my third announcement.
That's very cool.
So we're keeping it in the community. I want to give, you know, Papakura is my home.
Rep Papakura hard. So, Jenny, tell us because we're nearing the end and we're going to play out with a song from both of you, but tell us, how can people find out about your tour? Where do people get tickets? Those kind of things. Or just follow you and listen to your music.
I have been pretty on top of the promotions for the tour on my Instagram and Facebook. All the links are either in my Facebook posts or in my Instagram bio. Tickets are available at Under the Radar for the Auckland show, and the Jam Factory have their own ticketing system, so that will be in the link in my bio.
Very cool. So the Jam Factory, of course, is up here. And where are you playing in Tauranga?
The Jam Factory is the Tauranga
one. Sorry.
You're all good. Ugh. I have also been getting them mixed up myself. So Tauranga is in
the Jam Factory. Yeah,
the Jam Factory. This coming Friday.
That's right.
Which is the 12th, and then Move Space is our Auckland show on the 26th.
Friday's not the 12th, it's the Saturday.
Oh, Saturday, yes, sorry, thank you. My brain, I'm tired.
It's your tour brain, it's allowed to be tired.
Yeah.
Well, thanks guys so much for joining us on a Sunday night, especially after a very busy weekend. Thank you so much as well for coming back to Kick Arts and keeping us in the loop with what's going on. We're always keen to know, and we love having return visitors, as you know. Stephen, you're driving home. It's Monday night. I hope that I've done okay pushing the buttons at the right time, etc. It's going to be a telltale sign when we come to the end. But we're going to play out with one last song. And who's going to introduce this?
Can I introduce this one?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. I wrote this, and if you listen to the guitar lines in the background, I used to play that on a piano, and that became a song, and then I was stuck. I had all the music, and then I reached out to Jenny. I said, Jenny, can you do something with this? And she showed up to the recording studio, or just my studio, my home, and she showed me the lyrics, and she sung the melody, and I was like, that's it. So whatever you hear, this is Jenny's melody and lyrics, and I think it's perfect. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And it's called?
It's called Becoming Strangers, and if you can tell me what you think it's about. I'm not going to say what it's too much about. It's definitely not about a relationship. It's more about how people are in relationships, and maybe they bump into people that it's kind of like when you meet a stranger.
Very cool. All right. Well, thanks so much for tuning in to Kick Arts. Remember, go out there and kick some arts.